Who put these up here?
I know. I was here when he did it.
Sabotage. Who did it?
Bobby Scott.
Bobby Scott. Gosh. Now, okay. That was great music. What else do I have to announce, Heather? That's not Heather, that's Lauren. See, it happens to me too, guys. I told Heather the other day she just needs to dye her hair black. She's like, I'm not doing that. I'm like, okay, whatever. She gave me all kinds of stuff to announce, and I'm like, I can't remember all this. So I'll just ignore what she said and announce what I want to announce. We have Secret Church coming up. What's the date? The 20th? Is that the 20th? The 19th or the 20th? 19th. It's a Friday. And don't feel any pressure to sign up for Secret Church. But if you're going to sign up for Secret Church, try to do it now because we have to order books for it. It's six hours long. It's intense. It's going to make you... It's meant to be a bit of a struggle. So we're going to order some books this week. I can't imagine there will be more than 10 people sign up for that. I think there's two or three signed up now. And so if you want to go to Secret Church, if you want to know more about Secret Church before you sign up, YouTube will point you to Secret Church. They've been doing it for like 20 years. So we'll study the book of Ruth, and they will talk about the nature of the church in North Korea, I think. I thought it was Japan, but it's actually North Korea this year. So you'll hear more about that if you attend Secret Church. My microphone is extra hot today. What do you need from me, Josh? It's okay? Okay. So, we are ending, I wasn't going to mention this, but we're ending our Nine Marks of a Biblical Church series, and I'm leaving out the leadership portion. I opened the book and I started reading and I thought, you know what? I want to get into the book of Mark, and that's what we're going to do. So we're skipping. If you want to know more about biblical church leadership from the Nine Marks book, buy the book and read that chapter. But I'm skipping it because I want to get into the Gospel of Mark. We've been studying the book of Ruth on Wednesday nights, and it seems very fruitful to just get into the Word. And I really just wanted to go on and do that. So for the next several weeks, we're going to study the book of Mark. And I say the next several weeks because I don't know how long it will take. And it will take as long as it takes. That's how long it will take. So there's 16 chapters, and whenever we get through it, I won't skip chapters. I skip chapter of the Nine Marks book, but we're not going to skip any chapters here. So I can summarize the book of Mark in one verse. And if you want to write this down, this verse will be a focus for the next however long it takes, and that's Mark chapter 10, verse 45, says that, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So each week that we study the book of Mark, if you're able to walk away with this verse in your mind, that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came as a self-sacrifice for us, for our sake. That's why he came. So in Mark's gospel account, Mark emphasizes Jesus' activity rather than the things Jesus says. He does highlight things that Jesus says, but more so than Matthew, John, or Luke, he focuses on the activity of Jesus. And in his focus on the active ministry of Jesus, Mark uses the word immediately 41 times throughout the gospel account. So you will hear the word immediately 9 times in chapter 1 alone. And we won't make it through all of chapter 1 today, but you will hear immediately several times. So let's pray and we will begin our journey into the book of Mark. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your word. We are grateful that you've given it to us in our language, that we're able to study it. And it is direct word from you. Sometimes we forget that you've spoken to us in book form, that we would seek to open the book and read it and learn from it and grow from it and be fueled by it. And we're just grateful that we live in a place where we can freely open the book and read it and seek to know you and seek to follow you in everything that you tell us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in chapter 1, Mark shares three important factual observations about God's servant Jesus. In fact, number 1 is regarding Jesus' identity. Who is this Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. That should not come as a surprise to you if you're here today. Jesus is the Son of God. Says who as it relates to Mark chapter 1. In the first 11 verses, we have several witnesses to the fact that Jesus is God. We have Mark, we have the prophet Isaiah, we have the prophet Malachi, we have John the Baptist, and we have God Himself, the Father and the Holy Spirit. So, verse 1 says this. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So Mark is simply saying, look, I have a story to tell, and this story is about the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, so buckle up. Mark then takes us back to the Old Testament in verses 2 and 3. He says, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So this is a reference to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. And he doesn't specifically reference Malachi. Mark doesn't reference Malachi. But Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 also references John the Baptist. It says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. So Isaiah's prophecy happens around 740 BC, and Malachi's prophecy took place around 460 BC. So several hundred years before the coming of Jesus, we have these two prophets, we have these witnesses that someone is coming to pave the way for the king. And this messenger was John the Baptist. And I really contemplated, I see my wife is back in the room. I contemplated dressing Parker up as John the Baptist with animal hair and eating wild locusts and honey and all that, but I didn't have the energy for it. So let's read on. He probably would have enjoyed it. Let's read on verse 4-8. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. Parker would have looked good doing all that, right? So, and he preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So John the Baptist was in the wilderness area to the west of the Dead Sea, and he's telling people to repent of their sin and turn from their sin and be baptized by water. And John's message of repentance and baptism was a preparation for people. So he came to pave the way, as Isaiah and Malachi stated. So he's preparing the people to see and receive Jesus in their life. And John the Baptist was preaching this message, repent and believe and be baptized. The Messiah is coming. So the verses say, I just noticed it this morning when I was reading, it says, and all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him. Now, does all mean all? I'm not sure, but I have in here, I don't know. I'd have to get into that more deeply. But most likely there were at least a few people that John encountered would have thought that he was a crazy person. We know that Herod did. So, he's in a desert wilderness preaching this message to people he encountered so that they would be prepared when Jesus did arrive. So think about us today. Instead of the desert wilderness, I'm going to take you to the Kroger in Burlington. And we already discussed Walmart. We're not going to Walmart today, but we don't need to go there. But and if you don't get that joke, you need to come here more often. But today we're going to Kroger instead of the desert wilderness. So let's say we're going to preach a message of Jesus at Kroger. You're in aisle 4 and you come up to a group of 6 people and you simply say to them, repent of your sin and believe the gospel that Jesus came and died for you. So most likely they are going to look at you like you're crazy. And I would say this, or I would say that they would look at you like you're crazy. Okay, so but here's the craziest part. We exist in a time after Jesus has already come to this earth. And people still don't believe it. John the Baptist was preaching this message before the resurrection of Jesus. So people really, what if you heard this message from this man in the wilderness who's cloaked in camel's hair? And that was probably just what people in the wilderness at the time wore. So it wouldn't have been crazy to them, his dress. But he's preaching this message that God is coming. The Messiah is coming. But John knew the truth. He was a messenger chosen by God. Just as Noah was chosen by God, I bet the people in Noah's life probably thought he was crazy for building the ark. Certainly no one else other than his family believed him. How do I know this? Well, no one else got into the boat, but it was God ordained that Noah and his family were the ones to be in the boat. So the reality of this is that God didn't want anyone else in the boat. And then it started raining and no one survived except for Noah and his people. So why did I bring Noah into this? Well, Noah was chosen by God. John the Baptist was chosen by God. And if we are saved people, we know the truth. And if we are saved people, we have been chosen by God to be his messenger. The same truth that Noah knew, the same truth that John the Baptist knew. But think about this. We have more of the story revealed to us in Scripture than Noah had and that John the Baptist had. They didn't get to see the resurrection. They both died pre-resurrection. So last week we celebrated Easter, which is a celebration that Jesus, in fact, rose from the dead. And our faith is grounded in the fact that Jesus came and died and resurrected for us. Noah and John the Baptist didn't get to see the story unfold. We have seen the story unfold, not visibly with our eyes, but we have the story. It is done. It is finished. So this might be a bold statement, and I'm hoping for bold results because of this statement. We have more tools in our tool belt than to share Jesus with people than Noah or John the Baptist did. And you might be thinking, preacher, you are crazy. And yes, I called myself preacher because I think it's hilarious when Chuck calls me that. And now Dale calls me that. So, preacher, you're crazy. Noah heard directly from God. I don't get to hear directly from God. You sure about that? You sure about that? That's what this book is. You are hearing, when you read the words of this book, you are hearing directly from God. So we can't say that we're not able to hear from God. We have eyes, we have ears to hear. So I beg to differ if you don't think you can hear directly from God. He's given us an entire book of the entire story. So we should not make the excuse, well, I'm not a good reader. I don't like to read. Well, you can listen. We live in the space age. You can just click play on the Bible and listen to it. You have no excuse to not hear directly from God. So open that book or listen to the book and study it with other people. And there's plenty of supplemental books that will help you in your study. So open those as well. And you can listen to those too, okay? So God is not telling you to build an ark by faith. God isn't asking you to preach a pre-resurrection, pave the way message in a desert wilderness. God is asking you to preach an already fulfilled plan. He's asking you to tell a story that's already happened. Jesus has already put in the work through the crucifixion and the resurrection. God just wants us to tell people about it. That's all. Go and tell people this good news that Jesus came and died for you. That's all he wants us to do. There's other things we need to do along that, but that's the primary thing we need to do is deliver the gospel to people. So the work is done. The questions have been answered. It is finished. So no longer do you have to ask yourself, what's the purpose of my life? If you're a Christian, the purpose of your life is to preach a resurrected Christ. Simple as that. And you do it. You don't necessarily have to change jobs to do it. God has you in a place for a reason. He wants you to share Jesus with the people you work with now. Do that. That is the purpose of your life. What's the purpose of my life tomorrow morning? I need to switch jobs, don't I? Nope. You need to share Jesus with the people that you work with tomorrow. And then if you need to get another job in the future, go share Jesus with those people too. Okay? So if you are a Christian, the purpose of your life is to preach a resurrected Christ. John the Baptist was a pre-resurrection messenger. You are a post-resurrection messenger. So deliver the message. Deliver it at Kroger. Try to get people to see you as the crazy Jesus guy or girl. John the Baptist was beheaded, and we'll read about that later in this book. No one at Kroger is going to wield a knife at you, most likely, if you share Jesus with them, I don't think. Not in this country, anyways, yet. It might happen one day. But so you're in Kroger and you share Jesus with somebody, nobody's pulling the machete out, but they might look at you funny. Well, surprise, surprise, they're probably already looking at you funny, okay? We all look at each other a little funny. So share Jesus with the folks. That's what God has called us to do. And God will be delighted that you are bold. You are the bold and radical Jesus-loving truth teller at the Kroger or wherever you are, even at the Walmart, okay? This is what He's asked us to do. He's asked us to share the gospel. So let's do it. God's purpose for you is just as important as John the Baptist's mission. We are His messengers, okay? So we need to deliver the gospel message that God has given us. John the Baptist said that he baptizes with water, but Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And let's find out more about that in verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So remember in chapter 1, Mark shares three important facts, and we're only going to get to two of them today. But the first one was Jesus is the Son of God. There's so many J's in this. John, Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. John is not. Jesus is the Son of God. Says who? Says Mark. Says Isaiah. Says Malachi. Says John the Baptist. And now God the Father and the Holy Spirit in verse 11. And a voice came from heaven. "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So is Jesus who he says he is? I sure think so. The book of Mark doesn't speak much about Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River, but the book of John does. And just elementary Bible lesson, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are gospel account. They're the gospels, the four gospels. It's the same stories reported by four different people. So we can jump back and forth between them to hear more of the story. And that's what we're going to do here in John. What verse did I give you? I don't remember. Chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, so this is the baptism account of Jesus by John the Baptist. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him. That would be John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him. But for this purpose, I came baptizing with water that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God." So I've already said it, but John the Baptist was a witness that Jesus was who he said he was. And this account in John is more detailed than the account of Mark. But what does John mean when he says, "But he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" This is a reference back to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. And I'm giving you all kinds of verses today. But Isaiah chapter 11 says, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit." So this is a shameless plug for Wednesday nights. Barb, where are you? Who is Jesse? Don't mess up. Don't mess up. All right.
Jesse is the father of David, who is the descendant of 12 generations down to Jesus.
Ruth, Boaz, then who? Obed, Jesse. So Ruth and Boaz, we're studying the book of Ruth on Wednesdays. Ruth and Boaz marry, have a child named Obed, have a child named Jesse, has a son named David, who is all in the lineage of Jesus. So this is my shameless Wednesday night plug. If you come on Wednesdays, you get to know more of the story, okay? They're all linking together. And we got to talk about the book of Ruth in Sunday school this morning also. All of these details are connected. So we won't be here this Wednesday, but come next Wednesday. So there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, that would be Jesus, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So according from this passage from the book of John, John the Baptist didn't realize who Jesus was until he saw the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus and remain upon him. And we know that was prophesied in the book of Isaiah. So what an exciting time this would have been for John the Baptist. He gets to see Jesus and baptize him and witness the Holy Spirit. He actually saw the Holy Spirit come down from heaven and descend upon Jesus. And all of these happenings were put in motion by God from the beginning of time. God knew that John the Baptist was to be the messenger that paved the way for Jesus. God knew that John the Baptist would baptize Jesus and Jesus would begin his ministry during this time. So remember, the word immediately is used 41 times in the book of Mark, and here it comes again in verse 12. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. So Mark's account of Jesus's temptation in the wilderness does not go into as much detail as Matthew or Luke. But if you want to hear some of that, you'll have to dive into Matthew or Luke this afternoon while you're eating your Peeps or going to Kroger. And if anybody wants these Peeps behind, John Rowland, do you want these Peeps? Okay, I'll give them to you. I don't want them. Things are nasty. Okay, so Mark's account of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness does not go into much detail, but you can look into it for yourself. But Jesus is immediately sent into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by Satan. And guess what? Satan did not succeed. These 40 days in the wilderness are a symbolic representation of Israel's 40 years in the wilderness. Israel failed when they were tested, but Jesus remained in victory over Satan always and still does to this day. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45 refers to Jesus as the last Adam. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So what happened to Adam and Eve in the garden? You can answer out loud. What happened to them? Say again, Gianna. Yeah. How did they sin? What happened to them? They were tempted, right? They were tempted by Satan. So were they victorious in their temptation? No, they were not. But the last Adam succeeds where the first Adam failed. This gets us to our second factual observation from Mark chapter 1. So Jesus is who he says he is, and if he is who he says he is, he has authority. Okay, so Jesus has authority. He is the Messiah, and we have witnesses. We have Isaiah, Malachi, the prophets, John the Baptist, God himself, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and everybody else who got to see Jesus at that time. So if Jesus is the Messiah, then he comes with all authority, and we can see that in his victory over Satan in the wilderness. Adam could not succeed in victory over Satan. Israel could not succeed. Jesus is the only way. And during Jesus' time in the wilderness, John the Baptist was arrested by Herod. And we see that in verse 14. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So Jesus is the Messiah. He is the final authority. He is God. And it's time for his earthly ministry to begin. And what was the point of his ministry? Remember our summary for this series will be Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus came for us. He came for you. It's your responsibility to believe it. It happened to me through a series of events and the sharing of the gospel. And I believed it. And my life is moving forward with that belief. And it all happened 2,000 years ago, but it's been God's plan since the very beginning. We live in a post-resurrection period. Jesus has already come and died for the forgiveness of our sins. Now all you have to do is turn from your sin and turn towards God. And this is good news. So have you done that? If you're sitting here today and you have not done that, or you do not believe, there are people in this room that don't truly believe that, okay? Are you willing to believe? And if you don't believe, are you willing to just come and try to understand on a deeper level? If you have trusted in Jesus, praise the Lord. And if you have not, I want to invite you and the rest of us this morning by choosing to follow Him for the rest of your life. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. He said, and I just read it, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." We want to overly confuse Christianity and church life, and it's not confusing. It's simple. Repent and believe. We are sinful. We have all this. We have our own desires. We have our own thoughts. We have our own wants. Jesus tells us, turn from that. Turn from your own sinfulness and turn towards me. My plan for you is good. I want you to live your life for me. That's what it is. It's a simple, following Jesus is a simple turning from yourself and turning towards God. And if you want to hear directly from God, we have an entire book full of good news, okay? Why people don't believe it and want to believe the things that we see on the TV and on the news, I don't. There was a time where I was that person, where I didn't care anything about this. Nothing. I would have laughed at you when you told me this. So God reveals things to you on His timing. So don't lose, if you're here today and you're not a believer, don't lose hope. That, well, God, I don't know, how come I'm not feeling this way or that way? How come I'm showing up here? Pray to God to reveal it to you in a way that changes your life. Say, I don't know. Sometimes I don't wake up in the morning, feel, it's not, God is not our emotions. He's not, sometimes you don't feel a certain way. It's faith. You believe. We believe, okay? So repent and believe in the gospel. Turn from your sin and follow Jesus. And I'm glad we're in the book. I'm glad we're away from the Nine Marks book. I felt like I was preaching out of a book that's not the Bible. I was using scripture to do it, but that was time well spent. But I'm glad we are in the book of Mark, and we're going to hear many good things about Jesus' activity. And I just use this time as a deep study in your own life. Read this book, 16 chapters. You could read it this afternoon. You could listen to it today. You could read it and listen to it. You could read and listen to it with each other. You can buy an extra book, buy a supplemental book. Devote the next probably 20 weeks to read this stuff for yourself, okay? Don't just count on me to come up here and do it. Read it for yourself. And God will reveal things to you. You want to hear something from God, you open this book up and you read it for yourself. So if you're here today and you have no hope in Jesus, but something is stirring in you and you want to know more, please come forward and talk to me. If you've been faithfully following Jesus and you're running out of energy and you need prayer, come forward and we'll pray. And if you are doing very well and you feel great in your walk with Christ, praise the Lord for that. And I am excited. I'm so excited to be here. I'm excited. Last week we had 300 people here. I don't know how many. I like to guess how many people here sometimes. I bet we have 180 here right now. Probably not that many. 170. I don't know. But there's many people here that are faithfully following the Lord. And everybody that comes here on a regular basis, and I don't just mean on Sundays, people that are involved in this church know that this is a special place. It didn't take me long to figure that out. So if you're looking for a church family, you're here for a reason. Keep coming. Don't just come on Sundays and sit. Get involved in people's lives. Come to Sunday school. Can anybody say what a blessing that it is to sit in Sunday school and learn and laugh and challenge one another don't just agree with what the guy's teaching you. Ask questions. I don't know about that. What do you mean by that? Let's dive a little deeper. That's where you grow. Okay. My growing in the faith really happened on Wednesday nights. And I mean that with full authenticity. I was growing so much by coming on to our old church on Wednesday nights, just connecting with people. So if you're not connecting with people in the faith, you need to, I'm not just saying this as a church sales pitch. I'm saying it for your soul's sake. You want to grow in Christ, commit to learning about Him with other folks, because it will change your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful for this church. I'm grateful for your word. I'm grateful that it's spring break and I'm going to get on a plane to go to Florida here in a minute. I'm grateful for that. I don't need a break from this place. I love this place, but I get to spend time with my parents and my family, and I'm grateful that you have blessed me in that realm. So, Lord, I'm just thankful that the weather is changing. I'm thankful that you sent your son Jesus to do what none of us could, to do what Adam could not do, what Israel could not do. You sent him. He was the plan from the beginning, and we are grateful that he was the plan. And we, even though sometimes we kind of walk in a cloud of confusion in life on this earth, we walk by faith. You call us to walk by faith. And you call us to repent and turn from our own desires and turn towards you, because you know that everything you have for us is far exceeds what we could conjure up in our own human mind. So, Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here today that doesn't know you, that they would start their walk with you today in committing to being here on a regular basis and committing to asking questions and committing to cry out not only to you but to other people. Lord, I'm lost and I don't want to be lost. I mean, that is a healthy prayer. Lord, I want you to save me. I want to feel what I see in these saved people. These are good prayers. So if anybody's here today and they don't have a relationship with Christ and they want to take a step of obedience and just ask a question, like, how did this happen? Explain this to me. I pray that they come forward today and ask that question. Maybe that's their first step of faith. So, Lord, we're grateful for you. We're grateful. Gratitude is the thing that is just screaming in my head right now. We're just grateful for this, the freedom to worship you, and just allow us to be bold with your gospel message. You call us to share the good news. So let us be a people that are willing to do it in uncomfortable situations everywhere that we go. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.